Shall we just pray for Steve? Father, thank you so much for Steve. We love him to bits. We have faith that you've given him a word for us this morning, Lord. So, Lord, let your spirit rest on him. Anoint him to bring your word. And let your spirit rest on us as well. Soften our hearts to be ready to hear you and to be changed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe in the power of God's Spirit in us. Yeah, that is wonderful. And we believe in God's Word, and we can't have one without the other. Because if you don't have God's Spirit, God's power working in you, you can't get anything or very little out of God's Word. And it's God's Spirit that brings out the power and the activity and the action of God's Word. So I'm going to bring God's Word. I'll be quite honest, if you've read chapter 11 and chapter 12 of Genesis, I was slightly bemused this week that I've got a list of names and a miserable story, really, about mankind's sinfulness. But this morning I sat there, how amazing God's Word fits through the power of the Holy Spirit into Pentecost. So we started Genesis. God created the world. And what was it? It was good. God doesn't make junk. And he created humans, us. And it was
very good.
It was very good, and humans were made in God's image. And I've completely lost my notes. My iPad have eaten them, so I'm going to be going without my notes. So, God's image. And then mankind sinned and sinned and sinned. I've no mirror, Jeanette. It's okay. And God's broken mirror. It still reflected God's glory, but it was broken. And Adam ate the apple, and they were cast out of the garden, and it broke God's heart. But God was still gracious to them. God still covered them in clothing, in a sacrifice, in an animal. But they came out of the garden, out of God's presence. And then things got a lot worse. We have Cain, and we have Abel. And what happened to Cain and Abel? One, the murder enters the world, and it gets worse. And then the world gets so bad that every thought and deed of mankind is for evil. And God regrets that he ever made humans. That is really sad, isn't it? Really, really sad. Apart from there was one man who found God's grace, God's favour, it says the Bible, and he walked with God. And he trusted God. And when God tells him to build a huge boat in the middle of the desert, he did it. Yeah, what huge boat in the middle of the desert may God be asking you? And he trusted God. And he got he built the ark, and he brought his family in, and he brought the animals in, and God closed the door, and he sat there for 7 days with nothing happening, no rain, nothing. Have you ever walked out in faith and God hasn't done anything immediately in exactly the way that you thought he might have? But Noah and his family were saved in the ark by God, by his grace. And the storms raged and they crashed against the ark, and God stopped moving and talking for a little while, and the floods came up. And what happened then? God remembered Noah. Whatever waves are crashing over your life, God remembers. God remembers. And a wind, a ruach, a wind like the Holy Spirit started blowing, and the waves disappeared, and they landed on a mountain, and Noah sent out a dove, and he sent out a raven, and you know the story. Yeah, you know the story. But God was faithful and gracious. And then Noah came out of the ark, so he was saved by grace, saved through his faith, saved through the activity of him trusting God. And then what did he do? He worshipped. He built a worship, an altar, and he worshipped. And Jeff mentioned last week about worshipping. And where is the presence of God? Where are you worshipping? Where are you? And then God's heart was touched by his worship, by his faith, and all this. And God promised never again to destroy the earth and wipe out everything in the earth, all flesh. But was mankind any better? No. He didn't do it because mankind got any better. God's heart was touched by the faith of one man to build a big boat in the middle of the desert and his worship. And he acted through one individual. That's wonderful. And then they lived happily ever after. Is that right? This man who was saved by God's grace and kindness, he walked with God, he trusted God, he built an ark, he went through the storms, he went through everything that really difficult times, worshipped. What did he do? He drank too much and he ended up disgracing himself, and he ended up a right mess really. So what is there a spiritual meaning to this? I think even men of faith, of grace, just be careful of alcohol. Yeah, and through that mistake, what happened was that Canaan, one of his sons, sinned. He was cursed. But actually, the chapter ends with a blessing for Shem and a blessing for Japheth. And Japheth will live in the tents of Shem. Yeah, and that's a blessing to the church. We're the Gentiles. Japheth is the Gentiles, and that's what we got up to. So now we hit chapter 11, and I've no notes, so here we go. And basically, who had a go at reading it? Don't worry about it, no notes, it's fine, we're going to go without any notes. So it's a list, and who read Genesis chapter 11? Yeah, did you enjoy it? It's one of the most riveting chapters in the Bible, isn't it? It's a list of names, yeah? But actually, it's chapter 10 as well. It's chapter 10 as a lifter name. Lots of weird names. Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech. Yeah, so it goes through the sons of the Jathanites. Yeah, now bring up the next slide. We'll have to just blag this. Well, Jathanites were the Gentiles. So these guys went and they spread throughout the land, and the Spanish people, the Russians, all the other nations of the world around the Middle East. And actually, one of the most famous is, this is from, can anybody tell me where that's from? Who's heard of the Minotaur? Pardon? The Minotaur are from Crete. And we went on honeymoon to Crete, and it's the most incredible thing, and the architecture and buildings you've ever seen in Knossos. But these are the descendants of the Japhethites. Yeah, and they spread through the land. But did they do what they were told to do? So what was God's command to Noah after he came out of the ark? What did he tell his family to do? Go forth and multiply. And for those people who read chapter 10, did these guys go forth and multiply? Yeah, they did. Happy days. These guys went throughout the earth and multiplied. So then we get on to the Hamites, which is chapter 6, the sons of Ham. So who were these guys? So these were from Canaan. Yeah. Now, Canaan in the Bible, who could tell me anything about Canaan? Where did the children of Israel go? To the land of Canaan. Yeah? So, and what happened to Ham? Was he blessed or was he cursed? He was cursed. by Noah, which is a real shame. Yeah, but actually that goes through the Bible and through the nations. And most of the Bible, in the Bible, the Canaanites are the bad guys. Yeah, but there's a guy specific. So the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, which is Egypt, Put and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havala, Rama. The sons of Rama, Sheba, Dedan. And then there's this guy. Cush was the father of Nimrod, it says, who grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon. Babylon, good or bad? Bad. Bad in the Bible, yeah. So he founded Babylon and Erech and Akkad and Kelna and Shinar. And from that land he went to Assyria. Assyria, good or bad? Bad. If you ever read Hezekiah and Isaiah, very, very bad. And then we have where he built Nineveh. Nineveh, good or bad? Very bad, yes. Reboah, Ir and Calah and Rezin, where he's between Nineveh and Calah, that is a great city. So Nimrod, did he do what God told him to do? What was God's commandments to Noah and his descendants and his family? Go forth and multiply. Did Nimrod go forth and multiply across the earth? Did he? What did he do? Did building cities? No, he didn't. He decided to build cities and didn't spread across the earth. And then we have the Semites, who will be the descendants of Abraham, who we heard Jeff talk about, and all these things. Question, why do we care? Why do we honestly care? I'll just give you the most boring history lesson for people who don't like history lessons. Well, these are real people and real places, and it's stepped in history. They are there, the Assyrians. Have we got another slide? These are the Assyrians. Yeah, these are real places. This is in the British Museum. If you've ever walked down there, these are some of the most evil people you will ever meet. And they went and built a big city called Nineveh. And next slide. This is what they did. This was the average painting for an Assyrian or descendants of Nimrod. They used to stick stakes through people's heads and hang them up there. They're actually Jewish people, the Hebrews. So these are real places, real things. And actually, God is interested in nations. Yeah, in nations. Yeah, and peoples. It's not an abstract book like the Quran or Buddhism. These are real historical peoples and places and nations. And it is true. The Bible is real and true. But why else do we care? Well, it's the context. It brings us back into Scripture and to show us where the Hebrew nation Abraham is going to come from. Take that off. It's not a very nice picture, is it? And then we get to the next happy story about the Tower of Babel. Did you read the story of the Tower of Babel? I'm going to read it to you. It's a cracker. But we've got to go back in time because the Tower of Babel was built in the plain of Shinar. Yeah? And actually, probably instigated by Nimrod. Yeah? So actually, this is not actually in historical context. We've gone back in time. Yeah? Now, the whole world had one language and common speak. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used bricks instead of stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speak in the same languages they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their languages so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So mankind had been told to be fruitful, to multiply, to go across the nations. And then these guys decide to ignore that commandment and go build themselves a city and a tower on a plain. So were they multiplying? No. Were they scattering? No. They were basically ignoring God. But what are those two specific sins that they did? They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used the bricks instead of saw. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. Why did they build themselves a city? Because they wanted security. They didn't want to do what God wanted them to do and go multiply and be fruitful across the nations. They wanted to come together and build a city. And that was first their security. Let's build our own security in spite of God. I want to ask you the question this morning. Have you built your own security in something? So, do you seek security in your finances? I've got lots of money in the bank. Fine. I don't need any more security than that. Do you build your security on your job? I've worked really, really hard. I'm going to get really, really promoted really, really well, and my life will be fantastic. Have you built your security on your friends? As long as I'm surrounded by lovely friends, my life is perfect. What do you put your trust in? Do you put your trust in your things? If I have this wonderful new iPad, I'm looking at Jeff, or anything, I'll feel better. Life will be wonderful. Every advert you watch is about life being wonderful if I have this. All that, if I earn loads and loads of money, I do loads and loads of things, I will have security. If I have my family around me, they're secure, nothing can happen. My health, as long as my health, I work out every day and make sure my health is perfect. What do you put your security in? Have you built your own city which you're relying on for security? Like these guys. Or do you trust God? Do you trust God with your finances? Do you trust God with your health? Do you trust God with your work? Do you trust God with all the things that God has given? How much do you trust God? But that was their sin. They built their own security. They went and built their own city. And then the other thing they did, they said, so, come and let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Who loves getting complimented and getting glory? I love it. I love it when people tell me I'm doing really, really well. Yeah, I'm so good. I'm not. It's a joke. But who loves that? Yeah? Who does things? Who's doing things for their own glory? Or their own worth? Let's do this because I want to do it. So, there was a time when I was offered a really, it would have been a cool job, really. They would have paid me loads of money to do it. But actually, the only reason I would have done it, I prayed about it. And the only person who would have got the glory for that that was me, not God. He didn't glorify God. Do your actions glorify you, or are they glorifying God? Are you building a tower that reaches up to heaven? Are you trying to work your way up to God? Are you doing that? We'd never do that today, would we, Jeff? Build a tower that reaches up to heaven. This is it's some tower in Saudi Arabia, Dubai somewhere. It's called the Buri Tower. It's nearly a mile tall. Yeah? Mankind is still doing that. The builder of this guy, this skyscraper, wants to make a name for himself. He's plastered all, I think it's even named after him. How wonderful and glorious are we? Do your actions glorify you, or do they glorify God? Why are we here? We're here to glorify God as his children. Yeah? Let's see what God does now. I love this bit. This is brilliant. So, but the Lord came down. That tower is so small, or the tower that they were building was so petty that God didn't, the text mocks them. God came down. Yeah? From heaven. The works of man are nothing compared to the works of God. And you know, one of the things that really hit me when I became a Christian was I was sat in Witton Park. Yeah, who's been to Witton Park? Yeah, it is beautiful. But you sit on a bench at Witton Park and you look at the things that God has made and you look at the things that mankind has made. Yeah, and God, even the grass on the floor is more intricate than the most finest piece of jewellery that mankind could ever make. And if you look over the wall, you'll see the factories and industries and terrace houses, and they're ugly. Yeah, you know what? They're not, well, they're quite nice, but for houses. But mankind's works are nothing in comparison with God. Nothing. God can do what he wants. God made the stars in space, and these guys thought they'd build a building like that. Yeah. That's a picture in Townley Hall that we went to see in Burnley. Yeah, sometimes I go to Burnley, sometimes I have to. That was, they've made that, actually the painting is base. It, all the people are made to look like themselves when it was painted in the 14th century or whenever. But what's that comparison to the stars? So God came down to look at this city and this tower that they make, that men were building. And he said, if these people work together and have the same language, what are they going to do? Nothing on earth will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their languages so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth and stopped building the city. And that is why it was called Babel, because their Lord confused the languages of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. The other thing that they've done is built this tower. They built it using bitumen and mortar, which was rubbish building material. If you want to build something that lasts, build it out of stone like the Egyptians. These guys built it out of tar and bricks that degrade. So their works were going to degrade. They were going to build something for eternity, they thought, and out of rubbish building material. And what did God do? Now, if I was God, I would have, bearing in mind the context of the flood, I would have obliterated them again, I think, because they're clearly no better than they were before. But what does God do? The work happens anyway. God confuses their language and they scatter across the earth. What a gracious God, because I would have obliterated them, in fairness. I would have sent another flood. But God is so gracious and so kind. And what a weird story. And why do we care? Why do we care? There's another story in the Bible that involves languages. And in this story, the languages were confused and they didn't understand each other and they were dispersed to be multiplied. But there's another story in the Bible where God's Spirit came down. And what did they do? There were tongues of fire. So God came down in power again. And there were tongues of fire. And what happened to the languages? Yeah, no, everybody could understand each other. It's like the opposite of the Tower of Babel. Yeah, what a wonderful... So God scatters the nations. But actually, the part of the coming down of the Holy Spirit is that God, from a scattering, pulls everybody together. And we understand each other as one people. Isn't that interesting? It's really, really interesting, isn't it? That God's Holy Spirit brought a people together. Yeah. What does he want this people to do? What did he want the Babylonians to do? He wanted them to be fruitful, and he wanted them to scatter through the nations. What does he want the church to be and do? He wants us to be fruitful, fruit of the Spirit, same promise, love, joy, peace, patience, yeah, and he wants us to scatter into the nation and multiply. Isn't that interesting how Pentecost is the opposite of this horrible story in the Bible where mankind worked and tried to reach heaven, and actually God come down again, but by his Holy Spirit unites the languages of the nation, that is split into one people called his church. Isn't scripture cool? It's all there. And that's why I was laughing this morning, and why I was wondering why had God given me, well, why have I given doing these chapters on Pentecost Sunday? God is good. Scripture is good. Yeah? So what should we take? God is interested in the nations. Yeah? Nations rise and nations fall. Yeah? Why do you think that happens? Because of God. Yeah, God has his hand on the nation, and he has his hand on this nation. Yeah? Don't put your trust in anything to build any cities for your security. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus. He will not let you down. Don't build your cities out of bitumen and mortar, because useless. The only eternal thing that's of any eternal worth is trusting and obeying Jesus, who's won the final victory, the permanent victory for you. Don't seek your own praise. That's what Satan did. Seek the praise and the glory of God in all your actions and all your deeds. Yeah, the Westminster, I love the Westminster, not in the Bible, Westminster Catechism, which is a posh word for Sunday school tracts. And number one is that mankind is made to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. If you've ever read John Piper, he goes on and on about that. But actually, that's what our job is, to glorify God in all our deeds through the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus, and enjoy God. Enjoy God forever. And we've got Pentecost. We've got the nations, because they wouldn't go out and scattered and be multiplied. God did it for them, and he confused their language. But the coming together of the church, God, all the different languages were understood by everybody. What a sign. And there is a new city, which is God's, which is us, on a hill. How gracious God. And then there's Pentecost. Yeah, God's Spirit coming down and power. And don't just sit and be comfortable. Yeah, we've got a mission as well. Yeah, which is Acts chapter 1. Go into first Jerusalem, then Samaria, and then where? God wants the same command for us now as he did originally in Genesis. Be fruitful, multiply, spread throughout the nations. Yeah, spread throughout the nations. Is God good? I've probably missed loads out because I've no notes. My apologies. But I want to pray to this God. Yesterday I was really, really touched by the guy, who saw the guy preaching? Yeah. How cool was he? That was so cool. Yeah. But actually, we've got mankind really early on, but actually he was talking about fire and the new fire. If the nations learnt to love each other in the way that God wanted us to love each other and love God in the way, that would be the new fire. And I found it very interesting that Pentecost, what happened? Fire of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Go into the nations, multiply, be fruitful. Our fruit is our love. If you haven't feel like you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, pray some more. I'm going to put a hand over to Angela. It's Pentecost. It's the birth of the church. It's one of the coolest, coolest parts of scriptures. Yeah? Enjoy it. I'm going to shut up and we'll pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the wonder of scripture. We just thank you for the shadows of your church and your goodness throughout. And even in these weird, bizarre stories, Lord, mankind is just so rubbish. Lord Jesus, we deserve nothing. We're so disobedient. But Lord Jesus, you are so gracious and so kind, Lord Jesus, that you don't obliterate us, but you fulfill your intent by sometimes your actions that are difficult, by scattering and confusion into the nations. Lord, may we be a people that are fruitful as Christians through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we're filled with love, joy, peace, self-control, kindness, goodness, Lord. And we want more of your gifts as well. If we ask, Lord, we want the gift of tongues and prophecy and all the things that we were given on the Acts in abundance, Lord Jesus. And we want more sinners saved, Lord Jesus. We want to grow, Lord Jesus. And for your glory, may we do nothing for our glory, but only for your glory. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and for your kindness. And we give you glory in all things. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us over and over and over again with your goodness and your kindness. Amen.